Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A very Lutheran text, isn't it? Heresy almost always begins with a kernel of truth. From the Apostle Paul and our Reformation forefathers, we learn that many in the church took the truth of salvation through faith alone in Jesus Christ and blurred it by emphasizing that faith is certainly never alone. Works always follow, so works certainly must play a role in salvation. Thus, salvation is never by faith alone. So the heresy comes out. But the opposite extreme is also present, was also present at the time of Paul, Luther, still today. It goes something like this. Since salvation is by faith alone, works play no role in the life of the Christian, for he is led by the Spirit, not by obedience to the law in any manner. Our reading, our lesson from the Epistle of James helps us to see that such an antinomian attitude, an anti-works attitude towards good works is heresy and pure lawlessness. In spite of Luther's harsh judgment on this epistle, James does provide us with a stern corrective to the erroneous emphasis on faith to the point that it is purely intellectual knowledge and disconnected from a life of love, a life of good works that naturally follow and flow from our union, our faith union with Christ. James addresses this problem with a powerful illustration that opens our text in that from James 2. He says, "A brother or sister is ill-clad and in lack of daily food, and none of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what does it profit? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Lest you judge James too harshly, remember the words of his teacher and brother. Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." James understood faith as defined by his brother and Lord, Jesus Christ. James continues his critique of a purely knowledge-driven, quote, faith by pointing to the fallen angels. He says, "You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons, quote, believe and shudder." This illustration helps us to see that James is differentiating between a knowledge of God that even demons possess and saving faith, trust, that demonstrates itself in love for one's neighbor. Such a differentiation helps us to understand how we can read surveys that claim that very high numbers of Americans believe in God, and yet many of those same people disagree that with the claim that Jesus is the only way to the Father, and even fewer show up to worship in a Christian church on an average Sunday. Some knowledge of a Creator must be distinguished from saving faith worked by the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ that will show itself, that will demonstrate its presence through worship of the triune God and service to fellow man. The claims of James become more difficult in this discussion with the two illustrations that he gives. And this is where Luther really got nervous, and certainly where many of we Lutherans tend to not read this when we're talking about justification. We like to go to Paul and not even bring up James when we're teaching new Christians about this matter. But I would encourage you, one needs to bring up James so that some new Christian or new Lutheran convert doesn't get confused later on when he hears this or she hears this. There, James talks about Abraham using the same illustration, namely Genesis 15 verse 6, that is so prominent in Romans chapter 4, where Paul uses it, as well as in Galatians. James writes here, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son Isaac upon the altar?" You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to its goal by works. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "Abraham believed and was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God." You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Now, this is where Roman Catholics run to talk about their doctrine justifications. We Lutherans tend to avoid it, but I would encourage you to not only use Paul, but use James, and see how they work together in harmony in speaking about justification through faith. This, what James is emphasizing, indeed is correct, as long as one does not push it beyond what James is saying. Namely, justifying faith is never alone. That is a true statement. But it shows itself always in love. Namely, while we might not be constantly showing love, we always and regularly are demonstrating that love, even in the midst of our sinful lives. James' use of Rahab as his other example is especially helpful because it helps us to see that he is not emphasizing kind of just purely an exemplary obedience to the written law of God, such as sometimes the Jews lifted Abraham up in that category. Here we have Rahab lifted up, a Gentile who was a polytheist before coming in contact with the true believers who she harbored for and gave refuge to while they were spying on Jericho. So certainly here, Rahab's kindness and her preservation by Yahweh when the rest died speaks to the grace of God, speaks to the fact of Rahab not only lining up a huge list of good works as the basis for our justification, but rather having a simple childlike trust that was demonstrated in the kind act of love that she showed to these two Israelite spies. Our own Dr. David Scare, in his little commentary on James, helps us to see the complementary presentations between Paul and James in understanding how both are important in our understanding of justification by faith. He writes in his commentary, and I quote rather extensively, "While Paul speaks to the question of personal inward appropriation of righteousness through faith, James addresses a different question, the question of how the righteous are identifiable out in the world. For Paul, the question is, how do I know that I am justified? For James, the question is, how does the world know that I am justified? Abraham was accepted as righteous to the world and to the succession of believers for all time through a look at his willing obedience to sacrifice his son Isaac at God's command. How does one see that Abraham truly trusted, believed in the promise of God? Well, look at what he was willing to do to the promised line. It shows that trust there. Paul and James, again quoting from Scare, are speaking to the same forensic reality in which the believer appears before God as the judge. The believer, through faith, receives Christ's righteousness as his own and is viewed by God as righteous. So Paul's discussion. By works, the Christian vindicates God's verdict of righteousness on him by demonstrating to the world the correctness of that verdict. So James' discussion. The two are complementary rather than contradictory. However, one read apart from the other can certainly, as we've discussed earlier, lead to a false heretical position. The two, read in complementary tension, help to preserve us in the truth, in a true teaching of indeed that we are saved through faith alone in the Christ who died for all sins, who gives us his righteousness as the alien righteousness that we can stand before God in and be called his perfect children, because our righteousness avails for nothing before a perfect and holy God. And yet, the other, namely James' portrait, helps us from the danger of seeing faith as a purely knowledge ascent and not seeing the importance of how God shows to the world that indeed the Holy Spirit has worked faith, has made us a new creation in Christ, that Christ is alive and living in each one of us by virtue of our baptism, and that Christ shows himself in the midst of a life that sometimes is characterized by sin, a life that is also characterized and indeed dominated by love. Love shown for God as one worships the true God, and love shown for one's neighbor as one serves one's neighbor in need. The Episcopalian debacle of the past week reminds us of the wisdom of what James is putting before us today. What happens to faith if it ignores the biblical revelation of how we are to show love for our neighbor? I think this is especially vivid in this example, where you have now a model of the Episcopalian Church lifting up a complete denial of the original creation and certainly what we are recreated in Christ Jesus to do in terms of our sexuality. All of this is put aside. There is a complete disconnect between faith and life. Instead of seeing how this new life does and indeed flow out of this faith union in Christ, one leads to the other. The faith union with Christ begun at baptism does not show itself in returning to the ways of fallen creation, much like a dog returns to his vomited food. But it demonstrates and shows itself in a new creation, one that returns to the pre-fall union that we see with Adam and Eve. James does not call salvation through faith alone into question, but he does remind us that true faith is never alone. Where Christ is living in the believer, there are and will be deeds of love. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.